Good morning, everyone. Are you still asleep? We all want to be Zeicha B'Din. We all want to come through Rosh Hashanah with a positive judgment. And clearly, Levi Yodei Amoras Nafshei, everyone's heart knows his own shortcomings. But perhaps there are certain tools that we can utilize to help us achieve a proper din, a din that will be one of a positive din. So I'd like to share with you something. Mainly this comes from Rabbi Miller and from Moshe Shapiro, but I want to put it together in perhaps a different perspective. The parasha we read on Shabbos starts out with the union of Yefas Toyar. Yefas Toyar. And in a sense, Yefas Toyar, the Torah is making a phenomenal concession to the Jewish people. Passions of war are high, and you're allowed to take someone who's not Jewish. Of course, it has to be Megayer, but that's not our normal derech. But there are a number of stipulations, basically three stipulations. Number one is she must shave her head. Number two, let her nails grow. And finally, uvachsa avia v'ima yerach yomi. And she has to cry for her parents. So the Sivri gives two explanations as to what this means, to cry for your parents. Rabbi Eliezer learns that it's not good to cry for her parents. She's not going to marry a Jewish man. She's be cut off from her history. She's not going to have, her past is not going to be alive for her anymore, and so she has to cry, she has to mourn. Obviously crying is mourning, she has to grieve. Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Akiva says it's not referring to her mother and father, it's referring to the Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah. And he brings the pasuk, Oimlin la'eitz oviyato la'eben atilat toni, eitz la'eben, you're my father, you're my mother. That was the relationship that they had with Avodah Zorah. So Mamela, when the Pasuk says the Vasa Saviya Vesima Yerach Yomim, it's referring to the Avodah Zorah. The Zohar tells us that this Yerach Yomim, this 30 days that she's crying for the Avodah Zorah, relates to the month of Elul. It's Elul. That's what Elul is. Now, to cry for 30 days for a shtus is a little bit exaggerated. 30 days, I mean, once person has been mekabel, don't forget she has to have gerus. So if she has to have gerus, she has to be mekabel Torah min ha-shamayim, she has to be mekabel Torah mitzvahs. So what is she crying for 30 days? Why does it take 30 days for her to realize once she's mekabel b'yemes, she was mekabel b'yemes? So here, another mitzvah in the parasha we read Shabbos comes into play. And that mitzvah is Shiluach HaKan. And this is everybody familiar with. I'm not saying any new chedushim. Chazal tell us that the pasuk leman yitav lo v'arachta yomim was subject to a machloikis, a major machloikis. V'arachta yomim, what does it refer to? So Rav Yankiv says saw an event whereby a father tells a child to go up on a ladder and climb up and to take to Mekayim Shluach HaKan, and the boy falls down and dies. No, it's a big kasha. These are the only two mitzvahs that talk about Arichas Yomim, the only two mitzvahs that refer to length of days. Here by Shluach HaKan is Arachta Yomim. And by Kabe, that's Avichol Esimecho, Laman Yaruchun Yomecho, Yaruchun Yomecho. So you see that here it's talking about Arichas Yomim, the two mitzvahs in the Torah that speak about Arichas Yomim, this boy was Mekayim, and he dies. So Yaakov said, obviously, clearly, without any suffix, when it says Varachta Yomim, and Kabe, that's Avichol Esimecho, what's it referring to? It's referring to Adam Abim. Doesn't mean Adam Abim. But someone else came along, and his name was Acher. Elisha ben Avuah, and he also saw the same event. And from this, say Chazal, he became an apikoidus. From this event, the pasuk says, "Varach the yomim, the man yarichun yomecha," and he became an apikoidus. So the Oznaim the Torah points out that what was wrong? Why is it that they saw the Yaakov and Elisha ben Avuah saw things in two different lights? One saw it as a kasher, one saw it as a terrible contradiction to all of what Torah says, and the other one saw it as clearly what the true pshat is. Why? So the Oznayim the Torah points out that it's brought in Chazal that Acher, when he was leaving the Beit Medrash, we're talking about Acher, by the way. I mean, let me explain. I mean, you all realize who Acher was. He was Ramey, his Rebbe. Ramey was following him. He was riding a horse on Shabbos, and Ramey was following him. And they all asked, how in the world can you learn Torah from such a person who's being Mechal Shabbos? And he says he knows how to throw away the peel and take the kernel. So Rameir's Rebbe, obviously he was Mali the Gaddish. Rameir's Rebbe. And Aznayim Lotar explained that the reason Acher became Acher, or one of the reasons, the number of reasons brought in Chazal, but one of the reasons that it was Acher was because when he left the Beit Medrash, books of philosophy, of Greek learning and Greek understanding the world fell out from under his books. In other words, he was already ready learning things that he should not have been learning before he came to learn Torah. So the seeds of doubt had already been planted, and Pasha, his mind could not grab hold of and harvest the seeds of truth. Couldn't do it anymore. Rabbeinu Bachya also brings, very interestingly, that the relationship of Torah and secular learning has got to be one as that secular, that the Torah is our foundation. The Torah begins the way we perceive the world. Now everything else will fit into it afterwards, and if one is exposed to secular learning, it won't be harmful. As long as the grounding is Torah. That's the way Rabbeinu Bachya lives. So what are we telling us? That the fundamental perspective of a person's worldview is so ingrained that the one that he sees first, the one he perceives first, the one he absorbs first, is the one that he's going to have its impression, and it's going to be difficult to remove. First impressions. The Maral brings in the Siv, I think it's in the Siv Adin, that it gives a hesber in why it is that when two litigants come before a Rav and a Dayan, so they have to come together. One can't come before the other. Can't listen to one without the other. And the Maral explains that the reason you can't listen to one without the other is because when the first one comes and you hear his side, that impression remains. And then it's very difficult to filter out the subsequent arguments and the subsequent ideas. That is what remains, your initial impression. It's brought in Tanakh. Amazing Maisa. That David HaMelech, obviously, and Yonason were like brothers, more than brothers. And Yonason had a son, his name was Mephibosheth. And this Mephibosheth had an Eved, his name was Tziva. And Tziva came and tells David HaMelech, when he ran away from Avshalom, that Mephibosheth is staying in Yerushalayim with Avshalom, he's not joining him. He's not going to join him. And he's joining Avshalom, he's joining the revolt. So David got so upset that he took away all of Mephibosheth's property and he gives it to Tziva. Gives it to him. It's yours. Later on, it comes out that indeed this whole thing was a fabrication. It was a lie. It wasn't true. Mephibosheth had no intention of joining Absalom. Mephibosheth was indeed loyal like his father was to David, but he was lame and he couldn't come to greet David and he was in pain because he couldn't be David. So David, realizing that this was all a fabrication, says, okay, we'll divide it in half. Half is yours and half is Mephibosheth's and half remains with Tziva. He took it away because he thought that Mephibosheth was a rebel. So he took it away and gives it to Tziva. So now why doesn't he take it back from Tziva and give it back totally to Mephibosheth? First impressions remain. The first impressions remain. You can't erase those first impressions. And because of that, even David HaMelech, some shirayim were left over. We now begin to see what the Chazal were telling us. Chazal were telling us that the Rebbechza, she has to cry for Yerach Yomim, takes a whole 30 days because these were her first impressions. This is the way she grew up. This was her chinuch. And to uproot it takes an enormous amount of koyach. to cry for 30 days all of a sudden doesn't seem excessive, because you have to truly uproot it. It's not just that I'm makabel and makir the emes. It's more than that. It's not just that I'm makir the emes, but I have to uproot that which was negative beforehand. Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, Rabbi Shem says, Lech l'chom y'ask l'chom y'lach from Beis Avicho. So everyone asks that the order is fakert. The order is backwards. Where do you leave first? Leave your father's house first. Then you leave the place where you were born, the city, and then you leave your land. That's the steps. Why does it say, Me'ask l'chom y'lach from Beis Avicho? So I heard once that the pshat here is Pashat. He wasn't just telling him to move out. Avraham Avinu had to change his whole world view. And he was going in steps. The value systems of your country, that's easier to leave. Maladcha, the place of your birth. It's not easy to take a Londoner out of London. It's not easy to take an American out of America, I can tell you. It's not Pashat. That's where you were born. Chicago, the land I could leave, but I can't leave Chicago. How do you leave Chicago? Leave the place where you're born. You can't leave the place where you're born. It's hard. And Beis Avicho is gosh there. That's ultimately difficult. The whole ideas and structure, and everything that I was Makabu Beis Avi, how do I break that up? How do I change that? What do I change when I was a little boy? Once we understand this, we can understand why it's compared to Elul. Now we can understand why that this Yerach Yomim, that this woman was to cry. Chazal tell us in the Zohar that it's referring to Elul. Elul is a time for self-evaluation, time for introspection. And we're given these 30 days to examine our first impressions, to examine our attitudes, to examine what we've done as a result of those attitudes. And we have to discriminate between that which is right and that which is wrong, and that which is real and that which is illusion, and that which is true and that which is false. All these ideas that we have, attitudes, and don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about cholila, apikorsis, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about even in frumkeit. What's the right way? What's the right mahalach? Am I being frum because I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why am I frum? What is my frumkeit? Why am I doing Torah and mitzvahs? Am I doing it because everyone's doing it? I'm doing it because, what is my attitude in my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Really? That's what we're given Elul to think about. How frum is frum. And the Rebbe, the Mendel Kaplan, the Chayna Tzaddik of Rocha, Adam Gadol Ad Me'oy. But when Mendel, you'd use the word frum, he would almost become violently ill. He couldn't get the word out of his mouth. What's it mean? What's that? What is it? What are we talking about? We're talking about Avodas Hashem, the way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Memela, in this time, it's so closely connected to this Yerach Yomim, because the idea of Hayom Kosa V'Hamalacha Meruba V'Hapoyim HaTzelim, that's the Iker, yeah, is very, very evident in these 30 days. Very evident. So we have to use this time as a preparation for the Yom HaDin. So it's very interesting that conceptually now, the number 6 always prepares for number 7. Erev Shabbos, 6th day of the week, prepares for Shabbos. Elul is the 6th month. The 6th month of the year. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul! And Tishrei. Tishrei is the 7th. Now what is there in the 6th and the 7th that represent preparation and, in a sense, the goal, the culmination? The number 6 always represents the physical world. That's maral, these are nothing new, I'm sure many of you have heard this before. It represents the physical world, our physical world. Our physical world is constructed, it's a three-dimensional world. Therefore, everything physical, everything that you can touch, everything that you can feel in this world has 6 sides. It has a front and a back, a right and a left, a top and a bottom. Even a sphere, there's a right, a left, bottom, front, back. 6, I say sides, but I don't mean sides. It could be round sides. The idea is that everything in the physical world is three-dimensional, and there are 6. But there's ultimately a deeper level there's another dimension, a dimension that is not part of the physical world, and that is the seventh dimension, which is the Kedusha, and as the Svarim refer to it, it's the Heichal HaKodesh Be'emtza. It's that holy place, that holy abode, that holy Mokoim, that holy non-Mokoim, if you will, because it's not physical, and everything physical needs Mokoim. But that point, that concept of Kedusha, that's the Emsa. So the reality is not the way we see reality. The reality is not the physical world. The reality is the Olam HaRuchni. So therefore, the true Metzius is encapsulated within that point, which is seven. Yet we can't perceive the seven without the six. If were there not a physical world, there'd be no way we could connect to the Ruchniistic world. It is only through the physical world that we connect to the spiritual world. So the Olam Hagashmi, if you will, our physical world, which is made up of six, is always, as it expands and as it grows and as we connect to it, it leads us to the seven. And that's why everything in the physical world of our 6 days leads us to Shabbos. Everything about Erev Shabbos prepares, the six prepares for the seven. Once all of these six elements of the physical world are revealed, then we can begin to touch a little bit of it, but it's through that which is physical that we reach the spiritual. So that's the idea of our preparation. Now, there's so much to do. Where do we begin? So much, after all of this. I want to prepare for the seven. Tishrei is the seventh. Tishrei is the Makor HaKedusha. How do I prepare for it? What do I do? How do I use Elul these 30 days, which aren't enough? What do I do with it? So this is just a personal perspective, and everyone should apply it to themselves as they wish, but I'm really talking about myself. So I hate to talk about Musa things. I mean, that's not my derech. But I just want to point out one thing. Omar Rava, says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Omar Rava, kol ha-ma'avir al-midoisav, ma'avirin lo akol pshav. Listen carefully. Kol ha-ma'avir al-midoisav, ma'avirin lo akol pshav. Anyone who's ma'avir al-midoisav, what's the shot to be ma'avir? To overlook. To not let it necessarily get to me. To not stand on my own perspective, even if I know I'm right. By the way, we're always right, right? I mean, it's never that we're really wrong. It's never that we're really wrong. All right, so I'll give in. It's not the pshat. Mabir al midaisa means I really know I'm right, and I'm prepared to be mevater, to overlook. Rashi explains, by the way, the pasuk, he brings a pasuk. Ma'avir al kol pshav. That is just to finish the Gemara. Shenamar noise avoin ve'oyver al pesha. Lemisha noise avoin lemisha oyver al pesha. To whom will Hakadosh Baruch Hu carry his avoin? Misha oyver al pesha. If you're prepared, someone hurt you deeply, cost you damage, deep damage, emotionally, damage to my essence. Can you overlook it? Can you go beyond it? Can you get beyond it? Rashi explains that the Midas Adin does not pay attention to someone who's Mavir al Midosim, period. It's what we're talking about here is it's a means by which, who can be Zoycha B'din? Let's be honest. Who's going to be Zoycha B'din? No one's going to be Zoycha B'din. They look at me as an individual, you can't be Zoycha B'din. We all know that. So what are we going to do? We've got to use every little bit of influence we can. And one of the ways is to work on during this month of Elul is to be Mabir al Midaisa. The Gemara brings about Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua, who was very ill. So much so that they already were Metzavah to bring the Tachrichim. And in the end, he improved. And the Talmid HaChachamim, the Talmidim around him asked him, "You were so close to the other side. What did you see? And what did you hear?" And he said, my din was that I was supposed to go to the Eilam HaEmes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because I don't stand on my positions, because I am Mavir al Midosai, we're not going to be so particular. He was a Geisis, and he came back because he was Mavir al Midosai, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that before he took off one shoe already, they answered him his tefillah for rain. Bigger people, but certainly equal. Rabbi Elazar davened with both shoes off, and he still couldn't bring the rain. Rabbi Akiva just was about to take off, and the rain came. Why? Say Chazal. Is Mavir al Midosah. We all have tefillahs. Not just Rabbi Akiva. We all have tefillahs. We all have needs. We all have our own personal peccal. We want, and that peccal, unfortunately, very often is avaynai. No, we want to get rid of them. Now, how do we get rid of them? Be'emes, to be Mavir al Midosah. Now, how do you do that? How can you look? I'm right, but I'm really right, and I'm not just talking about big things. I'm even talking about little things. You know, little things. Children, your wife, parents, little things. How do you learn to be mevater? So Rabbi Acha bar Chanina explains that the key is anidus. The key is humility. The way to bring someone to be Maver al Midosav is through humility. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like you don't open up a window, for a Kohen to look better so he should see the Nega, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at someone who is truly an Anav. Now, this power of Anivus is really overwhelming. And in order to become an Anov, one has to recognize there is a phenomenal paradox in Anivus. I'll explain to you what I mean. There's a terrible paradox. The concept of Anivus is Zichtin Bechagornish. You know, they say in the Vedic that they used to work on Shifus Adam, Zichtin Bechagornish, you know, so they tell over that there was this Bacher that was standing by the wall. And he was saying to himself, "Oh, yeah, bin agornish. Oh, yeah, that gornish. Bin from sheishes made reishes. They never made a gornish like I'm a gornish." So one fellow heard the other two people were listening to him, and one said to the other, "Yeah, eich mir a gornish. Yeah, that's really a gornish. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. That's not anivus. That's far from anivus. We have to, in order to be an anav, you have to understand how great you are. Who you really are. Because I'll say, Vayisa Lamala, you should be Vayisem, Rak Lamala. Yeah? Says Rashi, Yochol Kamoini, name of Chazal, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Just as Pare said, Rakakise Egbal Mimecha, so too the Gedul of Hashem is greater. Yochol, but I would have thought, Kamoini, like the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. Kdoshim Kiyu. Yochol Kamoini. Talmud Loimar, Kodesh, how can you say these words? This Chazal, were it not for Chazal, we couldn't say this. Yochol Kamoini. You could be as Kodesh as the Rabbani Shalom. You would have thought that you could be as great as... The reason is that we don't really understand who we are and what does it mean to be great. And what does it mean to be a human being? A human being, Chazal understood how great the person really is. Chazal understood what is a mensch. And that's why they said Yochol Kamoini. A human being can raise himself to such lofty heights. Yeah, we can such lofty heights. And not only can raise ourselves, we have an obligation to raise ourselves to these highest levels. But then when we see where we really are, so how can you have guys? Anivus doesn't come from the fact that I'm so lowly. Anivus comes from the fact that I could be so great. And if a person realizes what his true potential is, there's no end to what we can achieve. That's the problem that we have in Anivus. And Anivus, we think, and the male, that's why we can't be Mavir al Midosai. Because we think we're so small that any little bit that I give makes me even smaller. You want to be Mavir al Midosai to be able to get to be Zoicha Bedin? Then you have to be a true Anav. And a true Anav is to know how great you are. How truly great you are. How great the Rabbeinu Shloimeh sees you and how great much he expects of you. So how can you be conceited when you see where you really are? They bring that's the pshat where it says that at Matan Torah it says Porcha Nishmasam. Right? What's pshat Porcha Nishmasam? That the Torah that they heard, the Dvar Hashem was the Kedusha was so great that it infused them with such kedusha that they couldn't take it anymore, and they weren't able to handle it. So the man of Poruch HaNishmas, the time when the neshama wanted to reach Atzah Kodesh Baruch Hu. But there's a Chazal that says that at Matan Torah, everyone heard Torah kifi his madrega. Exactly, it wasn't just there was this general, sheer quality, take it or leave it. There wasn't, it was a sheer protein. When the Rabbi Shem spoke, he spoke to you and to you and to you and to me and to every single individual that was there in Kali Yisrael. And each one heard it differently. And each one heard it kifi yecholtoi, the kifi matzavoi, who he was, who he could be, to his total potential. So why was Parsha Nishmas? They heard it exactly as they could be. So why do they have to, Neshamas has to leave? Terah says, because that's when Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. It was exactly measured to what your total and complete potential is. When they took a look at themselves and they saw how far they were from their potential, or how great they had, what they had to achieve, and they saw the distance between who they were and who they ought to be, Baruch HaNishmas. Hashem had to come and give them a tchiya, a tal tchiya, brought them back. Tchiya Samesim. Brought them back again, just like it was, will be a tchiya Samesim. Nu Rabo Yisrael. Think for a minute. That's us. We too have this enormous potential. So it's not shaykh to be a balgaiva. It's not shaykh to have conceit. When I realize what I ought to be and where I am, that's all. Nothing to do copy anybody else. It's only copy myself. And if I can perceive in myself how great the Odom is, how great mankind is, how great that Odom Arishan that says the Malachim was saying, Shiratim, Yochol Kamayimi. That's the potential of your ruchnius. The only thing that holds us back is the gashmius, not the ruchnius. So if we realize how great we are, so there's no problem being mother on the doisah. Clearly, you can yield. It's like driving, you know that good feeling you get when you're like, you get that. That's such a big. Really, it's my right, and I let the guy in. Called yielding. That's called Mavi Amidaisa. No, it's easy when nobody sees and nobody's watching and it's in the car. And most of the time we don't. But besides that, we have to learn how to yield, not just in the car, we have to yield. Yield. And when we yield to another person and what they do to us and what they say to us and how they act towards us, when we're right. And we let it go. The Shlokha will look at us, at each individual, and say, that's what I was talking about. That's truly, that's Yochol Kamayimi. And I'll conclude with one medrash. I don't even know if it has a mukkah. I mean, I heard it was a medrash. I don't know if it's a mukkah in Torah or not. I don't know. But the lesson is so powerful that I'm going to give it over. But again, if you can't find this medrash, because I haven't found it yet. But they say over that Avraham Avinu, we all know that Avraham Avinu had people constantly coming to his house, and he would give them food, and he would say to them, he would make them think HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was this old geezer, he was 70 years old. The guy would come in every day, he had breakfast by Avraham Avinu, and he refused. He would not say more than the high pizza. He would not. Till after a while, Avraham Avinu couldn't take it anymore. He says, never again, you're not coming to my house. Get out of my house. And he threw him out. Avraham Avinu. And it says, Rabbi Hashem comes to him and says, Avraham, what are you doing? What did you do? You're the Avodah Chesed. What are you doing? And Avraham Avinu says to him, I couldn't stand it. He wouldn't say, Berich Rachmana. He wouldn't thank you. Says the Rabbi Shlomo to him, listen to me. I've been tolerating him now for 70 years. And you can't tolerate him for another 2 minutes. No, Barishalem is Mavir Al Midoisov Kivyoko. That's what he wants from us. We institute there. There's no question that we have the tools for Elul, and Mir Tashem will be Zoichah B'din, and Chai Yisrael will be Zoichah B'din, and those that need Refuas will have Refuas, and those that need Yeshuas will have Yeshuas, and there'll be Shalom Al Yisrael.